This summer, the world's best tennis players are coming back to Cincinnati. The Cincinnati Open returns August 8th through the 23rd. Bigger than ever, with new fan spaces, incredible food, drinks, and entertainment all in one place. Voted Tournament of the Year by the players themselves. Community Weekend starts August 8th. Finals weekend, August 22nd and 23rd. Get your tickets now at CincinnatiOpen.com.
The Hard Shoulder with Kira Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk with Kia.
Now let's turn to that aforementioned report by the Oireachtas Committee on Housing, urging the government to consider reintroducing an emergency ban on no-fault evictions to help tackle homelessness, but also suggesting there should be a referendum to be held on adding a right to housing to the constitution. We're joined by Rory Hearn, Social Democrat spokesperson for housing, local government and the heritage, and the Gaeltacht, and also TD for Dublin North West, and the Fianna Fáil spokesperson on housing and TD for Cork South Central, Seamus McGrath. Let's start, gentlemen, with that idea of a no-fault eviction ban. Rory Hearn, why do you think this is a good idea?
Yeah, I think this is essential as an emergency measure to respond to the homelessness levels. And just to remind people that there are 17,500 people in emergency accommodation, 5,600 of those are children, and that's a 20% increase on the last year. And the main cause of people being made homeless is notice to quits, evictions from the private rental sector. 22,000 households were issued a notice to quit in the last 12 months. That is a phenomenal number. It's the highest level of evictions since the famine. This is, you know, in order to tackle and, you know, really go after homelessness, help people get out of emergency accommodation, we need to stop the flow into homelessness. Just give a temporary period like we saw during COVID, a ban on evictions for a period of 3 years. It would enable the emergency homeless organisations, the local authorities, to really get those who are in emergency accommodation out and give a space for the supply that government are saying is coming on board, and really just give an emergency response.
Okay, Seamus McGrath, how about that?
Yeah, thanks, Shane. Look, first of all, as a committee, I would argue that we do work in a collegiate manner, that we try to reflect and respect all views. There is a broad political spectrum on the committee. And what the report actually says is that we recommend that all options be kept under review, including the eviction ban. We're not actually recommending one. We're saying all options should be kept under review.
Okay.
And I think that is a matter of fact, to be honest. And I think most government ministers and most governments will tell you that all policies are generally kept under review. So I think as government TDs, we were comfortable with that wording, and it was in the spirit of trying to work with our colleagues on the committee so that we could reflect the broad church of views that exist. I don't believe now is the time for an eviction ban. I don't think it will actually solve our problems. The root cause of our homelessness is a shortage of accommodation. We have a chronic shortage of accommodation. We need to continually work to increase the availability of accommodation and increase housing supply. And I think putting in place a short-term eviction ban, while yes, it might plug a gap in the very short term, it is a sticking plaster. It will ultimately have a fundamental impact on supply. We saw that in the past when the eviction ban was put in place during the COVID period. It did result in a spike in notices to quit once it was lifted. So we think long term this would be detrimental to tenants. It will not solve the issue. We need to continue to invest in housing. We need to continue to invest in social housing. And we did build a record number of newly built social housing last year, over 9,000. We need to continue along that pathway and that trajectory.
All right.
I think that's ultimately going to be the solution to homelessness. But there are other measures as well, Shane. And the report has 14 recommendations in terms of trying to address child and family homelessness.
We won't get into all of those 14 now, at least not at the moment, Seamus. Rory Hearn, how about that? A shortage of accommodation is the key factor. If you have an eviction ban, you're only going to add to that shortage.
Yeah, well, I don't agree with that, because I think that the issue of the eviction ban, the argument that it will lead to, say, landlords leaving the market, etc. If there's an eviction ban in place, the landlord can still sell their property and they can still leave the market and the tenant will be kept in place. Just to say, I will agree with Seamus, and I think it is important to say that this report is a cross-party report. And Seamus is correct to say that the report doesn't recommend the implementation of it. Myself I put forward an amendment to report that it would include that, but and my colleague from Sinn Féin and also the other opposition TDs in the committee felt that we should have a 3-year eviction ban. That wasn't agreed. So what the wording that was agreed as a compromise was to look at it under review. And I think it is significant that it is a cross-party report, because Seamus is right. There are other measures in there, like the tenants in situ, reinstating that, where councils can buy property to keep tenants in place. And I think it is significant overall that government TDs agreed to a report that expresses a deep concern about rising levels of homelessness. And so this does go back to the minister and say, what are you going to do to ensure that actually homelessness starts falling? My deep concern is that this level of homelessness, and it rising month after month, has become normalised. It's like people are getting numb to it. And these are, and Seamus will accept, you know, every single person is someone who has lost their home. And the children, each of those 5,600 children, are children who've had to leave their home, who are not in their home currently, and their families are going through massive stress. And it's not okay. And it's not, we have to take emergency action on that.
Yeah, thanks, Shane. Look, first of all, I would agree this is a strong report. We make 14 recommendations. There is no shortage of humanity in government circles. We fully recognise the human cost of homelessness, the impact it's having on children, on families and individuals. And that is why we are determined to drive down those homeless figures and try to bring an end to the use of emergency accommodation during the lifetime of this government, or at least strive to do that in every way possible and use every lever at our disposal. And that is why we want to look at things like exits from homelessness, putting in place an allocations policy which prioritises child and family homelessness, for example, for trying to reduce the numbers entering homelessness in terms of preventions. And I would agree with Rory in relation to the tenant in situ scheme. That is a very important scheme, and we do want to ensure that there is adequate funding in that scheme. But we also need to ensure that there is, I suppose, a broader approach to homelessness, and we want to work with the likes of the HSE, with the NGOs, so that there are other supports there for people as well.
All right.
We have the likes of the Housing First initiative, for example, where people have complex needs, and there are other supports there for them. So this isn't just about homes all the time, it's about supports as well.
Seamus, can I ask you, because I know where Rory stands on this, and I will come to Rory on this in a second, but can I ask you, where do you stand on the idea of a constitutional referendum to put the right to housing in the constitution?
Yeah, so we did support that, and the report makes that recommendation, and it follows on from the Housing Commission making such a recommendation, and I have no difficulty with that. I mean, I think we have to be ambitious in this country. We have a very significant housing crisis now, but we would certainly hope that in the future that this country will get on top of our homeless and housing crisis, and I have no difficulty with having that aspiration in our constitution. We have to ensure that we provide homes for people, and that is why we are putting record investment.
Well, a question to both of you, and Seamus, you can take this first. How will it result in one extra house being built if this is put in the constitution? And I suppose the second argument I would make to you is, have we not learned from the example of 1983 when we put the right to life into the constitution, that the constitution is not the place to start putting rights such as that into, that you're only creating huge legal issues down the line? Seamus, on that first, and then I'll come to Rory.
Many people would view the right to housing as a fundamental right, and I certainly believe it is fundamental in terms of people's needs, that there is a home provided for them. Obviously, that comes at a cost, and that cost has to be met. It isn't going to provide additional housing, absolutely not.
So what's the point in doing it then?
I think it sends a very strong message that as a country, as a government...
Messages don't build houses.
No, of course it doesn't, but we are also matching that with resources, with reforms of how we deliver housing. We have the likes of the Housing Activation Office. We saw only this week, Shane, where we announced hundreds of millions of euro to activate sites, for example, to unlock some of those sites by investing in infrastructure. That's the kind of real action that this government has taken. It isn't just words, it isn't just aspirations.
Let Rory come
we are
in on
delivering.
This. Let Rory Ahern, how will it build one extra house? And that issue about, have we not learned from the 1983 abortion referendum about putting, you know, rights like this into the constitution, however desirable you may think it is at the time.
Yeah, well, I suppose it just to welcome Seamus's support for this, and this, I think it is significant that the Seamus and the other colleagues in the committee supported it, and I thank them for that. This is something that we've and I've been promoting for a long time and believe in, and it's not just me, and this I think is the significance. The Housing Commission itself, which was set up by the government, recommended this. What difference would it make? It would put an obligation on the state, and there is rights in the Constitution. So, for example, there's the right, and not many in relation to what are called socioeconomic rights, but there is the right to primary education in the Constitution. And that has actually been quite pivotal for children, for parents and children with additional needs, to push the Department of Education to provide services. So that is actually a really good example.
So is the obligation on the state to provide a house
exactly.
for everyone?
Well, the obligation is on the state to ensure that everyone has access to adequate affordable housing. So it doesn't mean that the state provides.
What does that mean in reality?
So what does that mean in reality? That, well, it would mean that the state would be breaching its constitutional obligation with this level of homelessness. That would clearly be the case. So you could have families, for example, in homelessness.
Suing the state.
Bringing to court,
is that going to help anything?
Well, I've given you a direct example. We have families, we have parents right now of children with additional needs suing the state because of the lack of access to additional, of proper resourcing of special needs education within our education system. That has forced the department to increase its provision of additional needs services within the education system. So there's a direct example that actually it can bring change. And if the and this was what the report set out, the commission report set out, that if the state is obliged constitutionally to ensure that everyone has access to affordable, secure housing, the state at every level, from local authorities to the department, to every department, has to look at how is it ensuring this is possible. And part of the issue has been that our state took the eye off the ball over the last 30 years in terms of social housing.
No doubt about that. But is this not a classic example of never mind how it's going to work in practice, how is it going to look in theory?
Look, I'm not too far from Rory on this point. I think he makes the point about access to housing. For me, it's about the state ensuring that there are options there for people. So this isn't all about social housing. This is about giving people the option of purchasing houses. It's about affordable purchases. It's about cost rental. It's about having a range of options for people. And I think the state has an obligation to ensure that those options are there for people. It isn't just about providing a house. It's about ensuring that there is a pathway to home ownership, for example. There is a pathway to social housing if that's what you need and qualify for, but also that in terms of cost rental. So there's a range of options there. And I think the state has an obligation to ensure that we do that. And again, I repeat, that is why we are taking the measures that we're taking in relation to the National Development Plan. €1 in €3 being spent on housing delivery. It is about increasing the overall supply. And only this week, Shane, positive numbers again came out in relation to commencements from January to May of this year, up 161% to 13,000 commencements. So that's all very positive.
Okay.
We are seeing good trends, but we've a long way to go. We recognise it and we are determined.
Seamus McGrath, Rory Ahern, thanks to both of you for joining us. Lots of text coming in this. I think this is a dreadful idea, says Chris, on the Constitution. Amendment. It would cause a real pull factor. The courts would be way down with people taking cases against the state. I dread to think of the consequences from it. Another listener says, I'm a landlord. I have a one bedroom apartment I don't use. I could let it out if I knew I could make changes like leaving the market. It would cost me thousands and years to get my apartment back, says Brendan. One last one. I'm now closing my letting business since 2008. I've sold my own properties. If the government gave the landlord the €14,000 tax free like the rent a room scheme, we would not have this homeless now, says Kevin. Just very briefly, Rory, is that something you'd consider?
Well, I think, you know, this issue, why we're here is because a lot of people got into buying a property as investment and viewing it as...
Could you answer the question, though, because we're just tight on time. Is it something you'd consider? If it's no, that's fair enough. All right, thank you for answering the question. Rory Ahern and Seamus McGrath.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
With Kia.
Weekdays at 4 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.